Hey there, and it's Radio Fishing Time with Fish and Frank, and my cohort in crime, my partner in craziness, this is Captain Kale sitting across from me. And how you doing this morning, Kale?
I am doing great. Beautiful, beautiful duck weather today.
Yes, but we're inside the studio. We've got this lovely audience. It's just, this is the place to be.
Even though it's raining cold, they've actually come to see us, and there's my biggest fan.
Yay! Hi, Barb.
Hi.
Anyway, my best pick for today, let's see, hot cocoa, fire, and I would either do like Alien versus Predator on a DVD, or maybe Sleepless in Seattle, depending upon, you know,
something,
what kind of mood you're in.
Something. I mean, it was definitely stay in bed weather today.
Yeah, I had some paperwork to do, and I said, well, I can't do anything else today, so I'm going to come in and do paperwork.
Might as well. Good day to do it.
But I don't really, I'm hearing a lot of reports about tough to get the fish to bite. I think the water's cold.
Actually, it wasn't too bad. When we had that cold spurt, it dropped down to 57, 58.
Anything you want to add in, Jeff? Jeff is going by.
It's a bitter cold winter for us Floridians.
It's a bitter cold winter for us Floridians this year.
Yes. Now, but you go to Ohio like mushroom hunting. Sorry, Kale, we'll get back in a minute. You know, but you go to like Ohio hunting mushrooms and stuff.
Yeah, but you expect it when you go up there.
No, wait a minute. One at a time.
You expect it when you go up there, though.
Oh, so when this is the unexpected.
Yes, this is the unexpected.
You don't do it in the snow, though.
No.
You go up there in the summertime for them.
Spring. Yeah, so it's cold in the morning and wet and rainy and then maybe nice one day and then... Yeah. Even the people that came down from Ohio this year are complaining about how cold it is down here.
Yeah, you had a couple in this morning from Ohio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, this is ridiculous. And I agree with them.
They're happy to be out of the cold that they're comparing to up there, but...
Yeah, minus 16 to 60 is a good
trade.
Not
bad, yeah, right.
But this is weird. 2 days of rain in January?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever done this before.
Like once every 8 or 10 years, maybe?
Yeah, this is
like
really
when we get
strange.
The 3 days of rain?
Yeah, but I'm used to it. A week of rain in the spring, a week of rain in the fall, but having two straight days of rain in January is unheard of.
And straight days. It wasn't those little 10-minute, 15-minute rains. It's been raining since yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a good rain, though. Nice light rain. We could use it.
We
definitely
need it.
Oh, and it's funny, the weather's saying, okay, we got a quarter inch, half inch. There's 3 inches in the guy's
pool.
Two inches in my gauge
as of yesterday, or this morning, actually, from yesterday.
I don't think we're getting quite that, but it was steady all night, and it started yesterday afternoon, probably around 3, 4 o'clock. It started misting about 1 or 2, and it just never stopped. I got up this morning at 5, and it was...
That's what I'm doing on the way home, is stop by the boat and make sure it's still on the right side of the water.
Yeah, that's the thing about leaving your boat in the water down here.
Yeah, well, at least if you got a bilge pump that works, you don't have to worry about it too bad, as long as it's everything's going.
But now today's Thursday. Tomorrow's going to be iffy. It's clearing up out there right now.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, today's the crappy day, and tomorrow it's supposed to be nice, Saturday's supposed to be nice, and then Sunday again getting a little maybe chance for rain.
No, see, the way I heard it was tomorrow's iffy, Saturday and Sunday gorgeous. Saturday being a little less, more partly cloudy, Sunday being really nice.
Maybe it was Monday.
Monday could go either way, yeah. I haven't got that far yet.
Well, I'm looking at this wonderful piece of technology I have here. And our high on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is 84 degrees.
See, now that's Florida weather. Sunshine and 80 degrees, that's perfect.
Low of 60, high of 84.
So, yeah, we've got some really nice stuff coming up. By Saturday, it's going to be 80.
Friday's the last day of the rain, then.
Yeah, I was looking, I thought tomorrow is supposed to be a little iffy, but I'm guessing mid-70s tomorrow and then 80s by the weekend.
Yeah, and it's...
80s through the week?
Wonderful little flat line here across the weather report for the temperatures, and that's what I want to see. Finally, some consistency.
Yeah, no fronts coming through.
Let's go turn some water off.
Okay, well...
We go turn some water off.
Thank you for your input, Jeff.
Boy, I flood the shop.
All right, that was Jeff, and... Anyway, back to what you were saying. Sorry about interrupting and Jeff going by and all that, you know.
I don't even remember where I was now.
We were talking about 50-some degree water temperature.
Oh, and yeah. When we had that last cold streak, it got down to the high 50s. But we're right back up into the 60s on our water temperature, low 60s. It didn't last long. It didn't make a big impact out there at all.
Well, I don't know. Sorry, guys. I don't mean to be doing that, but sorry. It's what it is. But I think this cold rain. It rains cold.
Yeah,
that rain is cold. That's going to
hurt
chilly.
That's going to hurt us more than the cold air.
That's between the rain and the cold air, the fog, all that. It's going to take, by the middle of this week, you're going to see mid-60 water temperature.
Yeah, it might be even down towards low 60s, I think. I mean, we're sitting mid-60s now, so it's going to drop it a few degrees.
Yeah, but I'm talking about once we start at 80 degrees, oh, yeah, 3 days worth of 80s, it's going to be in the mid-60s, yep. Low 70s. And if it lasts any amount of time at all, we're going to have amazing fishing coming back.
I hope so. It's been one of those winters where we get that one nice day after a front or before a front, and we get all excited because we think that's going to be the good day to be out there. Monday was a good example of that. And it didn't happen. There was almost no improvement out there fishing-wise between 2 or 3 days before the front and the day before the front.
Which shouldn't be. The day before the front should just be the best day ever.
Absolutely.
I don't know what's going on, really. It's really hard to figure out.
What day did I see you in here?
Wait, go ahead, Jeff.
What day did I see you in here and I was going fishing with the Shiners?
Was it Tuesday?
Tuesday, I think, yeah. Yeah. 125-pound gar. That was all we got that day.
All day. And that's unusual for you.
Yeah, usually we get a couple of redfish and a snook trolling, but all we got was one big 25-pound gar. Huge thing.
Wow. Yeah, it's been tough. I don't know. It's got to be water temperature and all the pressure changes and everything else. It's been real tough. But at least we've got something to look forward to. And I think the whole thing about this show right now is looking forward to Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely.
These consistent weather, gorgeous days, 80 degrees. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to just be the bomb to be out there. All the fish are going to pop.
Yeah.
I think the fishing is going to be excellent, and I think the catching is going to be good.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Because there's actually two separate issues right now. Even if the catching was good, the going fishing would be horrible today.
Yeah.
Rainy and cold.
Yeah.
And
it's miserable.
So, but I think next week you're going to have great fishing. I mean, get out on the water and enjoy the sunshine and the warm weather. And then the catching should be good.
You can move around.
I don't know what's going to happen really with the fish because it's been so crazy. I've been guessing.
It'll be a nice day to get out there and do it. You can get out there. We're not supposed to have a lot of wind, so you'll be able to get out there and move around and try different things in different spots, where today's one of those days that if you were going out there today, you get soaking wet, run into that one spot, and you stay there the rest of the day to dry out and get warm.
Today would be a day if I was on the boat, I'd want to have a big steel garbage drum with me, and I'd just be building a fire in the middle of the boat.
This is one of those days
where, let's light the gas tank on fire, because this really sucks.
It's one of those days where you get into Trout Creek or Rock Creek, and you spend the day on the trolling motor working the banks. Incoming, work your way in. Outgoing, work your way out, or vice versa, however you prefer to do it. But that's what these days are for.
Yeah, no, these days, I'm looking for some hot cocoa, DVD, you know. By the middle of the afternoon, I'm up with some Irish coffee, and I ain't moving again.
Yeah, it's a good day to stay in bed.
I've got about 3 hours worth of paperwork. I'm going home, building a big fire in the fireplace, and that's it. I'm done.
I don't blame you. Not one bit.
You know, maybe I can talk her into making a big thing of chili.
That would be nice.
This would be the last.
That would be nice.
We've only got another day or two to enjoy these hot foods before it's like, yeah, give me a salad. It's hot.
Barb made a 13-bean stew, which is just this side of chili anyway. So
right,
we'll go up there and have some of that here in a minute and get some work done on the website.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wish there was more stuff to talk about. People are really, right now, they've been coming in the store. Everybody's kind of looking for that want rod and reel, not so much a need but a want.
We're a month out from our tent sale. So everybody's slowly starting to come in and kick tires and turn handles and stuff like that.
An amazing tent sale this year. I mean, Mark Nichols, the owner of DOA, one of the coolest people in the industry, is going to be here. Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure, is going to be here.
Yep,
they're each going to have casting tanks. They're going to be showing you the lures. Rapala will be back. We've got a couple other ones.
CEO of Penn will be here.
Yeah, that's
a big one.
That's huge.
That's a big one.
And I heard he's bringing some of his design team down. The coolest part about what's turning out with this is we always thought, how great is it for people to talk to the owners of the company and see who makes the stuff? And what we're finding out is it's the other way.
They're listening to us. They're listening to our customers, what they want, what they would like to see different.
And that's been the amazing part. I mean, if you're the CEO, brand manager of Penn, you really don't get to talk to the general public who buy your products.
Well, most of them won't.
And, yeah, most of them won't. Most of them are just stuck
in an
office
somewhere. When was the last time you sat down and had a conversation with Bill Gates?
Yeah.
When was the last time that you sat down and had a conversation with Lee Iacocca? You know, all these great company CEOs, they're not accessible to the general public.
They're isolated.
Right.
And what's bad about that is they don't understand what we want to fish with.
Well, they become mushrooms.
I think the conflict was actually because of our customers talking last year to the CEO of Penn, talking about how much they love the battle, but it was a little heavy, and
right,
this, that, and the next thing. And he's actually gets that one-on-one feedback. And the best part about it is we have such good customers. They're reasonable, nice, intelligent people.
We have good customers. We have good reps. You know, we make suggestions to these reps, and these reps take it back to the company. Now, whether the company does anything with it or not, some companies do, some companies don't. And that's been the big change in Penn.
Is
we have...
He shows up here. The guy in charge of the whole company shows up and talks to him.
A phenomenal rep with Penn, a very intelligent rep with Penn.
Yeah.
And he listens to what we say. He listens to our customers, and he takes it back to the heads and the powers that be within Penn, and they listen.
Yeah, but they're also here listening to the guys. And
I
think it's the only time of year, the only show. And this is the only show I know of in Florida for sure, but possibly within the U.S., where you're going to meet people from Rapala, Penn, Quantum, DOA, Mirror Lure. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. I had a list, but I don't know where to go.
Every company that we deal with is sending a rep.
Except I told Shimano to go get bit. I'm not bringing them in. They just annoyed me so much that I don't want to deal with them.
But that's where they need to step back and learn.
They've canceled everything in the U.S. All their U.S. Development teams and all the rest of that stuff, they moved everything back to Japan. And they don't want to hear what's going on in the U.S. They don't care what the market is. They just want to sell product. But they've eliminated so much of their U.S. team. I mean, I know Toyo Shimano, and he's a hell of a nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. The actual Toyo Shimano himself.
Right, right.
Really nice guy. But you got to filter through 60 other people to get to him anymore.
And that's the problem with it.
25 years ago, you walk up and talk to him.
If you're a mushroom, then...
Yeah,
that's what you get. You get kept in the dark, and your people below you feed you crap to make you happy.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not having Shimano here this year. So I think we can do a lot better.
Star Rod Barry.
Barry's going to be here. It's going to be great.
We're going to have reps from Rapala. We're going to have reps from Bomber, I believe.
Actually, Bomber is bringing in another guy, somebody from the factory. They're bringing an actual factory guy this year. And Rapala, we got Storm coming this year.
That's
number one selling hard body bait this year has been Storm.
Yeah.
And the little soft plastic pre-rig stuff. I mean, they outsell everything 10 to 1.
Absolutely.
And Storm will be here this year.
Good deal.
So we've got somebody, we've got the Rapala guy coming, we got Storm coming. This is going to be a cool show.
And it's kind of cool to watch how it's evolved. I mean, people, you know, our everyday reps would come. Sometimes they would bring a sponsored fisherman with them.
And we stopped
doing
that the very first year.
Our clients were, our customers were smart enough to see through that.
Yeah.
No, you're sitting here telling me that's nice because they sign your paychecks. I don't want to listen to you.
Yeah.
And it has progressed to factory reps,
now factory
our sales reps, then factory reps, now people that own the company.
Right.
It's really grown. It's cool to see it.
If you want to show up, you have to be vice president. If you're a new company, the ones we started with, the reps still come. But if you're a new company coming, if you aren't the owner, the manager of the plant, we don't want you to show up, because I don't care if you're on TV.
Right.
I don't care if you're some guide or whatever, because you ain't any smarter than I am. And I've got
you see the
13 guides here that are better, smarter than what they're going to bring.
And that was the other thing that you saw, was a lot of these reps just don't know about the product. Because not only are they repping brand A, they also have lure B and jig head C and hook D.
And guns and this.
And guns and all this.
They're spread too thin.
They're spread way too thin. They can't know about the product. That's why you get engineers from Penn here. That's why you get engineers or CEOs from Penn here, because these are the people that make the decisions in the long run. And it's nice to see a company like Penn not being run by bean counters that don't know the difference between a spinning reel and a conventional.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're seeing with Shimano right now. Everything's getting pulled back and run by bean counters.
Yeah, it's just, sorry, I'm over the whole thing. They got some really nice reels, and I'm still selling Shimano and everything, but I want people who are honest, trustworthy, care about their brand, care about their products. That's what I'm looking for here. And it's a two-way street. If they're not going to take care of my customers, I'm not taking care of them.
Right.
So anyway, enough complaining about them. We are going to try and get a couple more people to come this year, and we've got two more companies we'd really like to see show up. I'd like to see Rockport Rattler show up. I'd like to see Rattle Trap come. I would love for Rattle Trap to
be here.
Love
to see the guys from Rattle Trap here.
Nicest people. It's made in the U.S. They're made right in Louisiana. Great company. Great people.
Another company that's listening. Hey, we need something that runs shallow out here on the flats.
Yeah, they're doing a great
job. And they're making one.
Yeah, they're working on it. So anyway, enough about what is, what isn't, and where we're going. Another cold day tomorrow. We got to finish out today with this rain and drizzly, but it is breaking up outside.
Yeah.
We got a decent chance for weather tomorrow. Great Saturday, Sunday, and the rest of the week.
Should be a decent day tomorrow. I'm going to be
out. Do you have any
out.
Open days next week?
They're slowly going away, quickly. I've already booked Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's going quick. It's going to be a beautiful week. It would be a beautiful week to pull that boat out of the water and clean it up and redo the inside.
I got the fiberglass guy all lined up. We've
got
to gel coat it.
When that weather's nice, people want to go fishing.
Yeah, it might be a little while. So,
and that's fine. It is what it is. My suggestion is let my boat go.
Work on the tower
boat. Work on the other tower boat. Get that done. I'll run the tower boat while we work on the other boat.
Okay.
That way we're not missing charters. We're not having to reschedule clients and make people unhappy. And
well, that's what I'm going to do, because I got to get that other boat done. It's got to be bottom painted. We got to get the tower installed, do all that. So I'll get that started this week. And like you say, and then as soon as that one's done, we put it in the water, and then we take
the other one out. But great weather coming. I think we're going to see some good fishing.
I'm going to be
I'll
there.
I'll tell you, I saw something out the other day.
I'm going to be on the boat the very first time you take that tower boat back onto the flats, and I want to watch your eyes get big and everything else pucker up.
You know, I'm not used to seeing the water.
Because the first
until
time
it's
I
right
get it.
Beside me,
yeah.
And by then it's already too late. You're already committed at that point.
I'll tell you, the worst thing about being a tower boat is
you can
going
see.
18 inches of water, 2 feet of water, like we always run into, when it's clear.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're going to look, your eyes are going to get big, your heart's going to stop, everything's going to pucker up, and you're going to be backing off like... Because you know you got water, but your brain is telling you, oh,
different.
My God, oh, my God, I'm going to die.
It looks different. You don't see it going in.
Oh.
I mean, I've got my marks
right
everywhere on shore. When I come through Alligator Creek and turn right down the east side, I know how much of Crab Trap needs to be sticking out of the water before I can't make it, you know? And when I come around the corner at Cape Hayes in tight on the shore, I know how much of that shoreline can be showing before I can and can't make it. I know where my marks are in Trout Creek, but...
Well, we won't have a jack plate on this boat for
a while, anyway.
You know.
I don't have the sight that I will in that tower. I can see my mark. I know I'm fine. And like I said, I can't see the water until it's already at my side. And by then, oh, you're already gone and going.
I can tell
so
you.
So I'm sure there's, and I've been thinking about it, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of double guessing yourself on the throttle. So
the scariest thing in the world is you're standing up there. You're literally, your head's 12 feet off the water, better. And all of a sudden, you're looking down in there. And it's, oh my God.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah. Once you get used to it, it's fine. But that first 2 days, the first time you go to a new area and you're looking, all of a sudden you see these little bumps coming up off the bottom and you get all this detail. Yeah. Scares the heck out of you.
The bonus is I'll actually be able to see fish now.
You'll be able to see what you're scaring off.
Instead of dust clouds.
Yes.
Because it's the same thing. You don't see it until it's right beside you. And by then, that redfish is just a dust cloud. So
we'll
be able to see fish now.
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't had a tower boat for a while since I took it off of mine. Yeah. I went back to low decks. Because you're on a whipping post up there. People don't realize that. But once you're up in the tower, a little movement that you absorb with just your toes, your knees
on
the bottom.
It's magnified up there.
It goes way back and forth. And you're like on a whipping stick up there.
You're at the bottom of that bell swinging back and forth, not up at the top where the fulcrum is.
Exactly.
You get a lot of movement.
Get a lot more movement, and you don't get as wet because the waves usually don't make it up that high. If you're getting splashed all the way up there,
yeah, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, you really want to rethink. I shouldn't have been here.
Exactly, and I think a skiff like that is a perfect platform to put it on, in my opinion. You don't see too very many skiffs out there with platforms, and I think that's the perfect boat to put it on because it's a lot more stable, and it's something that you can't push your luck in with the waves to begin with. So
right, unless you're me and you know you're out there in the Gulf in a 24 foot boat and 6 foot seas, and just he's got a 32. If he's got a 32, I can. What he can do in a 32, I can do in a 24.
I had that skiff out at the power poles.
Yep.
But you could have water skied out there. I mean, it was a beautiful day that day.
I wasn't that lucky. When I was out with that thing in the Gulf, I mean, it was 6-8 footers, and I was just too stubborn to stay back. I said, you got a 32, whatever you can do in a 32, I can do in a 24.
It's even hard to fish the pass in it during tarpon season. The clients start getting a little, a little wary because you're getting constantly hit in the back of the boat.
Right.
With the waves. And
but that's because I cut the back of the boat out to
but
put
it's
twins
crashing
on it,
over, know? And they start getting a little worried once they start seeing an inch or two of water in a day. Don't worry, guys. This is just our morning sea breeze. By 10 o'clock, this is going to lay down. Don't worry.
Well, the other one has more enclosed back, and so that one won't be any problem. But, yeah, I've been out there in the past and had the bilge full of water, 2 inches of water on the deck, and, you know, everybody, you know, in my other hull. And people look at it and they're going, the pumps will take it out. Just give it a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we'll see if I like the tower. The one thing that I don't think that I'm going to like is being up there away from the clients.
Not having a T-top is the
other
thing.
Well, that too, but I can live with that. But I like being down there.
Well, I'm putting dual stations on it.
Yeah.
The dual stations, but the only it was a big separation of church and state because you're way up at the top of the tower, all your customers on the bottom. It's one of the reasons I took it off my boat was because I would be driving and everybody else is down there.
Yeah.
And it was just, and the towers are kind of in the way.
And the miraculous thing about these new four-stroke engines is you can actually hold a conversation at speed now.
Yeah.
So only, your clients talk to you and ask you questions, and whether it be about your past or your life or how the fishing's going, and now you're way up there in your perch, and you don't have that socialism with them that makes it what it should be.
Yeah, I agree. That's the only thing I don't like about being on the tower. I got to find that if that's the state calling. I think...
Hey, Barb, what does that say?
It's Terry.
If it's Terry, I'll just get it later.
Okay, say something. Okay, we're still here.
Yeah, we're still here.
I'm waiting for a call from the fishing license people in their infinite wisdom. So, sorry about that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we've talked about towers, talked about weather, we talked about everything except the fishing, but I would not have a tower boat as my only boat.
No.
I want to stand on the deck. It's more comfortable. It's easier. It's better. There's no tower in the way.
You know, unless you're one of the Rob McHughes out there and you've got a lineup of deckhands, and that's all you're doing is tarpon fishing, then by all means, only having a tower boat is great.
Yeah, but I did it and as my only boat and really became unsatisfied with it. The first couple times, it's great. But after 8 months of it, I said, you know, it lasted on my boat almost a year. I pulled it off, yeah. Went back to center console. I'm much happier with that. But now that have three, we can...
Right, right. Right. And it's I wouldn't want to be stuck on a tower boat. I do a lot of fishing up above Shell Creek, you know, above the San Susi Trestle, so... That's nothing. That's an area to fish that I don't want to scratch off my list.
And the tower kills it because
yeah, absolutely, you're not getting underneath that trestle
unless it's dead in the winter. You can't go. Even getting up past 761 was a challenge.
Yeah.
So anyway, but just giving you guys an idea, we've been jabbering about it. But if I was going to have one boat, it would not have a tower on it. But if I had a second boat, I really think the second boat with the tower gives you so many more options.
Well, how many times have we told people down here you really need two boats to fish, whether it be inshore or offshore, or even two boats for inshore? And a lot of the offshore guys are going to two boats too, a big one for long trips and a small one for short trips.
And I can honestly tell you, we wouldn't have this boat, but one of our guys who's been with me 4 or 5 years, we got him his captain's license, doing all that, and he decided he wants to go out and see the world and take off. So Andrew's going to be leaving, but Andrew was going to be running this boat. It was bought and purchased for Andrew to be the captain on the boat. And but now that he's not going to be, we'll find somebody else to drive it. But in the meantime, Kale and I are going to play with it. Terry has already claimed it. That's her boat. She wants that. She's
got her boat sitting in the yard.
Oh, her pirate ship.
The pirate ship.
Yeah. No, she's actually claimed this one. She really liked the tower when I had it on there. And
well, the tower is nice.
I took it off.
It is really nice.
Even though she actually wanted me to keep it. But I got the pulling tower on mine.
Yep.
And now I'll have the tower on the other one. So anyway, but I guess we can wrap this up. I don't think we really said anything.
Well, with it being a dark, dreary, rainy day, there's not a whole lot of fishing stuff to talk about. I'm sure we'll have plenty of shrimp for tomorrow. So I don't think shrimp will be a shortage tomorrow for the guys that do want to get out there.
Rockport rattlers are going to be a problem for the next couple of days because they are gone. I mean, we've got a few, the quarter ounce and the half ounce.
They're a great jig head. They work phenomenally well. They're well built. They have a good hook on them. They're priced right.
They got a rattle.
And they got a rattle in them.
The rattle's the only thing. It's the rattle.
It's
good hook, good head.
It's no different than the Penn Battle when it came out.
Yeah.
We sold the hell out of them. Everybody did. And they got to play catch up. So these guys will have to do it too.
That's what we're doing with them. More sizes hooks, more sizes weights.
Every company's best nightmare.
Yeah.
It is to go out of stock on your first run.
Yep. So, anyway. I can tell the producer, namely me, has decided to play the music and call it quits to this lunacy of, I'm not really sure what we talked about or if we talked about anything, but this is Fish and Frank, and that's Captain Kale over there. And Kale does have a few trips open next week, whether it's on your boat teaching you where to go and what to do and how to do it, or on his boat going out and having fun catching fish. But Fish and Frank and Captain Kale saying, we will see you on the...
We will see you when the weather is better.
Okay, yeah, good point, when the weather's better. See you guys.